Well, I'm really excited tonight to talk about just different testimonies, different stories of Thanksgiving that many of you have shared. And I'm just really, really delighted to get to share those stories. It's an honor, and it's been great to read all of the different backgrounds to these stories and to distill them down to these essential parts. Before I launch in on the stories, I want to read, and I'll continue to read different sections from the Psalms that really speak to our thankfulness of the Lord. This is a season, isn't it, that our country really celebrates the bounty of the United States of America, and it's a time when we've got great thankfulness and it's almost a disembodied thankfulness. Our country goes through Thanksgiving and oftentimes is just happy and thankful without really an object for that thanks. They're just grateful to be alive, grateful for having family, grateful to have a good meal together, grateful for love and fellowship. And while these things are certainly all wonderful and they're great, we so much more as followers of Jesus Christ have reason to give thanks, because our lives are not just thankful for all the plenty that we have in this country. We're thankful for a relationship that has come to us by God, by Him reaching out to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has taken hold of our lives and transformed and changed us. And I believe with all my heart that anybody that takes the time to be around the church family at Long Beach Alliance will truly experience a transforming Jesus Christ. I know there's a popular Jesus Christ that's out there in our culture, and we hear about on CNN, and we see on everything from Fox News to MSNBC, but I believe that the real live transforming Jesus Christ is alive right here in the church family at Long Beach Alliance, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for this family. And it leads me to read this beginning part of Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord our God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who keeps faith forever. Did you hear that? Who keeps faith forever, securing our trust and our faith for us forever. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the ways of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. One anonymous writer wrote, "I am so thankful for God's love to me. God is good to me, and for that I am thankful." Another wrote, "I am greatly thankful for my family. I'm also thankful for nature and for all the beautiful creatures that God has conjured up. I'm also grateful for all the friends that I have and that sympathy exists." I thought that was very touching. "I thank God that my brother has been showing signs of improving. Last year, he dealt with a lot of stress, and the year before that, he was dealing with a lot of personal issues. But this year, my parents started him on therapy, and he has a lot less stress from school because he's making new friends." So that's my story. "I'm thankful for my friends and my church body and a family that has been there through the rough times. I'm thankful for God's grace, for his undying love. He has blessed me with amazing opportunities this year, and I'm thankful for the work that He will continue to do in my life. His name be glorified." That came from an anonymous college-age student. Another wrote, I give thanks all day when Thanksgiving comes along and we have a great feast. Families have turkey. Personally, I want ham. But I am still thankful. Remember, a whole bunch of different people wrote these, including children. So, another wrote, thank you so much for bringing our new youth pastor and his wife, Lord. What a wonderful thing to see our youth thriving in your word. Amen. Another collegian wrote, you asked for a Jesus story. My Jesus story is my life. Without the Lord, I would not be the person I am today. He is consistently working in my life, speaking to my heart, using me every single day. I can't even begin to explain how thankful I am for the Lord and His mercy. Many times, I have been left awestruck by His marvelous works. I love the Lord, and I am thankful for everything He is doing in my life, blessings He's given that I do not deserve. He is truly a gracious and loving God. Amen. Lord, you have been faithful. You've called my children into a relationship with you. You have preserved and strengthened my marriage. You have provided for our every need. Another anonymous writer just gave me bullet points. Things I'm thankful for: family, health, church, friends, education, life. I am forgiven. I have a gracious Heavenly Father. And then they wrote or quoted Isaiah 41:14. I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Whew, that is good. Madison Eckhart wrote, one of our collegians wrote, I am thankful that my dad finally got a job after being out of work for almost 2 years. The job came when my dad's unemployment was about to run out, and it is a better paying job than the one he had before. Amen. How many of us have experienced similar stories during such tough economic times? Lauren Nastasi, wife of our student ministries pastor, Brian, wrote to me and said, I am thankful to be at a new church with people who have been incredibly warm and welcoming in a way that I have never experienced before. I'm thankful for a new ministry with students who are equally as warm and volunteer staff that are incredible. I'm thankful for teaching that focuses on the Word and for a church that is willing to discuss things openly, to budget based on God's leading rather than on trying to get out in front of Him. It was difficult for Brian and I to transition from one church to another when we got married. For the first year, I struggled feeling at home in our new church and to feel fed on a weekly basis. While this move into Long Beach Alliance was not initiated by us, it is clear to me, it became clear to me in June, that God was in it and that the outcome is in His control. This has been one more time in my life, one of many, where God's faithfulness has been unmistakable. Amen. Leon and Linda Fruin, are you guys here? Hello. Leon and Linda wrote, we were witness to God's amazing grace as He daily continues to protect us. We were on our way to Duarte on the 405 at about 12:30 in the afternoon, and we were in the carpool lane. All of a sudden, we hear a ticking sound, and we saw warning lights appear in our car. Amid lots of traffic, I was able to get over one lane of traffic and then realized my car, no more power. Leon and I began to pray right there and then for God to take the wheel. I looked over my shoulder, and a huge break of space was in traffic, and I was able to cross 7 lanes to the shoulder of the freeway. Leon and I know for certain that God made a path for us and led us all the way. We praise and thank our Heavenly Father for His protection and His love. Thanks for sharing that story. That is wonderful. And only in California can you say, and then I went across 7 lanes of traffic without hitting anything. That's amazing. A little longer one from Linda Keller. I think I saw Linda out in the parking lot. Linda, oh, hello, right behind the fruits. Very good. Because of a crisis in my life a few years back, I ran from everything, especially God. Now I've given the Lord my whole life, and I've asked him to use me any way he chooses. I see his great faithfulness in the life of my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and then to me and beyond to my children and grandchildren. My great-grandfather, Evan Andreas Kittleson, I hope I got that right, was a strong Christian. He was born September 28, 1841 in Norway. As a young man, he was a ship's carpenter. The boats of his day were very small, with sails and a steering wheel at the helm. One day, at sea, a great storm came up, swells 20 to 30 feet high, crashing over their small ship. Men were lost overboard. The crew was fearful and asked if someone would volunteer to try to man the helm. My great-grandfather volunteered, and he was tied to the helm, praying that it would hold. While he was left up top alone, the rest of the crew went down below to ride out the storm down in the hold, hoping beyond hope that they would survive. In the morning, the storm had calmed. The men came up top and were amazed that they had made it through the night. They found my great-grandfather alive, and the ship was on course, and they asked, how could this possibly be? He told them it was because Jesus stood with him through it all. Because of his faith, the men were not only saved physically, many of them gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. My grandmother, whom the Lord gave 97 years to, told me this story. She kept the picture, which was attached to this. Thank you, Linda, for that, by the way. By her bed to remind her of what Christ did. Today, over 100 years later, the Lord is still using my great-grandfather's story of faith. And I tell it as I give out messages on these cards with the picture so that others can find salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. How important is it for us to remember and write down the great stories that God has done in our lives? This was from an anonymous writer. I've grown in Christ throughout my young teenage life. God has shown me his love and mercy, mostly in my teenage years, because most of the hard times you have come as a teenager, and then you become an adult, where it just gets way easy, I got to tell you. It's just hard when you're a teenager. Keep thinking that. When I face hard times, like a project due the next day or something like that, it always reminds me of God and how he will help me through the suspenseful morning that I face. I went to Hume Lake for the first time when I was in eighth grade, and I realized that he is good and that he loves me more than anything imaginable. I felt closer to him and felt like I could have fun being in a relationship with him. I've definitely grown spiritually because I used to do bad stuff in elementary school. Like, I said bad things about people. Now, middle school, I don't cuss at all, and I've got a lot of friends. All because of God and how he has looked over me and helped me. This is what I am thankful for. God and everything that he does for me to make me the person that I am. God is awesome! Exclamation points following. Thank you to whoever wrote that. From KNS, who I know from this story. What an amazing journey this has been. We're thankful that our son has obtained a great job in his field after 2 years of unemployment. We are thankful that our daughter is on her meds and has a clear mind and is happy after many years of mental illness. Amen. What a great testimony. This from a college student. I've been part of youth ministry as a leader for the past few years, but for the most part, I wasn't sure if I had done anything good at all. Doesn't that just sound like ministry? For those of you that serve, don't you sometimes wonder, I think I could disappear. Nobody would notice. But within the past couple of weeks, this leader writes, I've seen so much fruit in my ministry. One person opened up to me completely, and one person I had been texting for 2 years finally returned to youth group and came back this past week. Another collegian wrote, I had an English class this semester. My first impression in my English class was that the teacher was pretty anti-God. I discovered that she used to be a Christian, but had a falling out when she was in college, when she was still young and in college. My first essay I decided to write for this class was about God. Now that's taking it head on right there. I appreciate that. With the help of Kerry Kaufman, our collegiate minister, I wrote a good paper. And as the professor was handing back paper, she stopped when she got to mine. She then proceeded to praise me for a good paper. And we had a class discussion for 10 minutes about my paper. After class, several students approached me and talked more about it. I'm now in a study group with those same students. I got to develop a friendship with my fellow students. I've been able to develop friendships with my fellow students, and I want to see what God has in store. It's awesome. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. Praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives name to all of them. Great is our Lord, abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace within your borders. He satisfies you with the finest things. He sends forth his command. His words run swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ash. He casts forth ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and he melts them. He causes wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any people. And as for his ordinances, they, the others, have not known them. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the family of God? Some longer ones that I received this past few weeks. This came from one of my old youth kids. Guy, hey, what's with the Vulcans over there? Are you guys here? Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm going to read your story in a minute. I love that, by the way. God changed my life in many ways over the last year. The last 7 months have been the only sober stretch that I can recall. For years, all I have done is go from one drug to the other. I spent 2 years just living in a garage doing every drug you can imagine. Eventually, I quit using drugs, but all I did to replace those various drugs was an addiction to alcohol that has controlled my life for the last 7 years. This last April, I decided to go to the doctor. I wasn't feeling very well. And he informed me that I had less than 50% of my liver still functioning. I walked out of that office, and I haven't had a drink since. Next, God brought me back to church. After a few weeks of listening to the preaching, I was sitting there wondering, what am I waiting for? God has been trying to bring me back to Him for all these years. So I chose to give my life back to Him and start living my life again. The way He wants me to live, and the way I should have been living the whole time. I am so happy to be living my life for God, and He has brought a whole new joy in me. I wake up every morning loving life and feeling blessed to still be here. God is good, and I am proof that He can change our broken lives to glorify Him. Amen. Thank you, Matt Brearley, for that story. That is wonderful. This is from just an anonymous writer. I praise God for the opportunities for my faith to grow this year. When I had no job, no money, I thought I would have to move back in with my parents. Peace came through prayer. Grace came through a landlord who opened her home and trusted God to supply her needs as well as mine. And God did provide a better position than I could have dreamed, shared with me before I even knew I would need it. They looked into by me because I was still living at my current location. Yes, I praise God for the job, something that I enjoy and provides for my needs and for my beloved housemates. But I praise Him most for the opportunity of living in the unknown. I praise Him most for living in the unknown, being given the chance to trust Him when everything seemed hopeless, and watching Him provide through circumstances totally uncontrolled by me. That is faith being built right there. This is an amazing story, and I don't know who this is, but you should come up to me afterwards and tell me who you are. This is anonymous, and maybe you want to remain that way, but if I find you, I'm giving you a hug. My husband was hired as a firefighter. Praise God. We transported our family to North Orange County to make for an easier commute. After owning our business, with years of inconsistent work schedules and incomes, the move and new job were a blessing. However, shortly before Thanksgiving of 2008, we received a letter in the mail that my husband would be placed onto a waiting list instead of being hired. The city decided to hire 4 firefighters instead of 8. We were devastated. With a 6-week-old son and a 3-year-old daughter, I returned to work full-time while my husband worked hard to run the business during the economic downturn. He picked up work at an ambulance company, continued to pursue a career in firefighting. During that time, God humbled us tremendously. We learned what it meant to praise God, even in times of great need. Without a close support group of family and friends, we clung to one another and to God. In the next year, I, at my desk at work, received a call from my husband. Sobbing into the phone, he told me that he had received a call from the city. They wanted to know if he was still interested in the firefighter position. He was hired after 4 years of pursuing it. Glory to God. My husband has never been to academy. He has no training. We were amazed and humbled knowing that God taught us a lesson about His control and timing. Get this. This is awesome. Amazingly, his department is constantly covered in prayer and godly leadership. The chief is the head of Firefighters for Christ. The family-focused department has welcomed us with open arms. February 17th marks the end of my husband's probationary year. We have since been blessed with our 3rd child. Praise God that his timing is perfect. We don't know why it took so long. We only know that his trustworthiness, ability to comfort, and his provision are perfect. He gives and he takes away. All is a reason for giving him thanks. In our case, in taking away the job, we were given a closer walk with him. As our focus of what was most important became balanced, we were given the desires of our heart. God wants to give us gifts, but he wants more than anything our hearts and our lives. Jeez, that is amazing. From Jason and Carolina Cusick. A year ago today, we managed to cook a full-blown Thanksgiving dinner for 21 Ukrainian friends. It's amazing to think of where you were a year ago. Most of which did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior personally. It was no small miracle to cook for that many people in our little mini kitchen. But more importantly, we were blessed to hear words of gratitude to God come out of the mouths of our friends. This was, by far, a highlight of our calling while on the mission field. Since then, we've moved back to the States due to physical and emotional illnesses. It has not been an easy year, but we fully believe our Lord is still writing our story. During this transition, we give thanks to our provider for knowing what the future holds. I love that we're in midstream on that story. Thanks for writing that. The word thankful would best describe this year for me. This year has not been perfect. Sorrow still often engulfs me. But my prayer always ends in great thankfulness. My family has been truly blessed with God's mercy. From extreme sorrow, He has showered us with extreme joy. Problems and everyday issues pale in comparison. I want to share that giving your burden completely to God without reservation really works. I see it in my life. I see it in the lives of my children. I see it in the lives of my friends. How blessed we are. How many things we have this year to be thankful for. All of my prayers always end in thank you, Lord. Thank you, Debbie, for sharing that. I moved here a few years ago, arriving with just a car and some clothing. Since then, I've worked multiple jobs to pay my bills. These past few years have felt financially precarious, and I've had to live quite simply and real frugal at times. In the midst of everything I do, I'm consistently bombarded by the voices and images of our culture. Fashionable clothes, trustworthy cars, powerful computers, sleek smartphones regularly mock my condition with disdain. A little flair for the dramatic. I know who wrote this, so I can say that. He put anonymous, but I know. But then I am reassured when I pause to consider God's provision for me. Since exploring and settling into the community here at Long Beach Alliance, I have seen so many new friends help and provide for me. Despite worrying and being financially tight, God has provided so many things for me through this church of loving people. My desk, my bed, my dressers, my couches, my bike, all of my dishes and cookware. I have my backpacks, my school books, and new clothing. That's pretty good. That's a lot of stuff. I've been offered so many delicious free meals with other people. I've borrowed cars while mine was in the shop, even when it was in the shop for a month and a half. Some members of the church even helped pay for my schooling. The laptop I use right now to type this paragraph was a hand-me-down. All these things were given to me as free gifts, blessings from people at LBAC that have helped me immensely. Sometimes I feel like I'm overly dependent. A mooch who needs to stop accepting handouts and do his own thing, stand on his own two feet. But it's just this individualistic culture that's whispering in my ear. Should I say no to the good things of God given, which I wouldn't have been able to enjoy on my own? This sharing body of believers exemplifies life and community. It helps me envision what the church in Acts 2 in sharing all things in common, we're really like true generosity. The myriad ways I've been blessed through others' provision has encouraged me time and again to be a more generous person myself. Thank you, Father of Lights, for your provision. Your church is my greatest asset, my greatest family, my greatest home. What an encouragement. Dia Slade wrote this about sitting front row in our church's youth ministry. Some things that she has observed this past year. Our church body rallied around our youth to support them going to Hume. Our fundraising dinner raised more than twice as much per student than any previous year. Amazing. When our students were asked what they were looking for in a new youth pastor, what was their highest priority? They wanted someone who could teach them God's word. Amen. God used VBS and a plethora of beach days to rebuild our junior high program. Students grew in friendship and unity through those shared experiences and memories. The emphasis on knowing God instead of just knowing about God at Hume was compelling for many of our junior high students. I've heard from several of them that they have a new desire to grow in relationship with God because of what they learned at camp. I've observed a deepening friendship and unity amongst our high school students after Hume Lake this year. In general, I saw them preferring to be with one another rather than pursuing temporary camp friendships. Two women at our women's Bible study shared with our group that they have decided to become more involved in church based on their son's enthusiasm for the youth group. They both shared that their sons felt welcome and loved by other students and the leaders in our youth ministry. God has given me the great privilege of praying with three students this year as they made first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. Psalm 45, Dia wrote, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Good word. Told you I'd get to you, Vokens. Here it comes. I'm assuming Kate wrote this. No offense to you, Ed, but you'll understand after the first line. I love a good plan. I love security. So I like being responsible. In other words, I'm a control freak. We waited to have our first child until my husband and I were in secure jobs. The same was true for baby number two. At least we thought. So after teaching for almost a decade and my husband in the secure world of special education teaching, we were far from expecting two layoff notices. But here we were, 6 months pregnant with another little one at home and a very uncertain future. There was no more plan, no more control, but there was prayer. Long Beach Alliance Church overwhelmed us with prayer, and it brought a peace in the uncertainty I'd never felt before. Baby number two came, still no jobs. The start of the school year crept near, no word. And then in the last hour, my husband got a job offer for even more pay. And I also got a promotion at my school, plus a crazy offer to teach nights at community college. At this point, we asked people, please stop praying. No more. We're now overemployed. God has proven that He had a plan and that He was in control. That year we were blessed financially, but beyond busy. Our family time was virtually gone, and we began to realize how little we valued the security of money at the expense of our time. We missed each other. So when my husband and I got matching pink slips again this following year, it was almost a bit of a relief. God had already shown us that He would take care of us, and we welcomed the brief hiatus from overemployment. But as the school year came and then passed with no job offers in sight for either of us, that doubt began to creep back in again. It was now past the last hour, and then in God's perfect timing again, my husband was interviewed for two great jobs. One paid well, but would take him away for long hours. The second paid far less, but allowed him to teach virtually from home. That night, we prayed God would give him only one offer, so that we would not make the wrong decision. And he did. He was offered the job from home. It's less pay, but far more than being unemployed. And we had learned the great value now of being together. Then, the very next day, we could, before we could even take a sigh of relief, we found out that we were being surprised by baby number three. It's God's perfect timing. A few weeks later, I was offered a teaching position with the same online school. So here we are, both at home, and a wonderful third is on the way. We are a living example of watching God's much better plan unfolding in spite of my attempts to make my own plans. I am now a reformed control freak with a great story to tell of God's goodness. He will take care of you. Thank you, Kate. And I'm just going to read a verse before I read this last story. Praise the Lord from the earth. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever, and He has made a decree which will not pass away. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and He has lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people that are near to Him. Praise the Lord. This last story is from Scott Slate. My mother died on May 12th, just after Mother's Day. I made it back to Ohio to see her, and I was there with my brothers when she passed. but she was unconscious at the time. I'm grateful, though, that my mom trusted Jesus Christ for her forgiveness and eternal salvation, and I know that I will see her again. Nevertheless, I think it was the most difficult thing that I have ever been through. Yet there are so many blessings that the Lord prepared for this time. I'm so glad that my brothers and I had the opportunity to surprise her last year on Mother's Day, and we took her out to lunch. I think that was the first time we'd all been together on Mother's Day that I can remember as adults. I got to see her three times that last year, which was unusual for me. Once on Mother's Day when I happened to have a business trip to Ohio. Again, I thank the Lord for setting that up. Once when she came out here to see her first grandchild, Monica, graduate from high school. Dia's dad was also there, who we didn't know at the time had only 2 weeks left to live. And then the last time in August of 2010 at a Slade family reunion that I flew to Michigan for. During that last visit, we also drove around to some old significant haunts in Mom's life. The farmhouse where she was born and lived in as a child. The church where my parents were married. And a couple of small cemeteries out in the country where some of our ancestors are buried. It was a great time. And I have wonderful memories to treasure. I was also blessed that my Mother's Day present got to her early, the day before she collapsed and never regained consciousness again. I'd sent her a box of brownies with a note and sent it a little early because I was going on a fishing trip with Sam in the mountains on Mother's Day weekend. So she got the brownies and sent me her last email saying thanks and that she had eaten one and she liked it very much. If I had not been so clueless as to book a fishing trip on Mother's Day weekend, I would have been home that weekend and waited till Mother's Day to just call her like I usually do. And it would have been too late to tell her one more time how much I loved her. She left behind piles of journals. She wrote down what happened every day of her life for the past 30 years. Except when she was very sick in the hospital out here 16 years ago. And then for about 6 months after my father died, which was 26 years ago, that I think was just too painful for her to write about. These journals are a great gift to me and my brothers. They record every significant event of my adult life as seen through my mother's eyes. My marriage, the births of my three children, trips she took out here to visit us, it's all there in detail. She often just wrote down ordinary things like what she had for dinner, how many loads of laundry she did, or common places she went. But it's all very precious to me. I miss her a lot, and I think about her every day. And I know that that will be the case for a while. It seems strange now not having any living parents, but I guess it's my turn to move into that season of my life and let my own children watch me grow old. However many years the Lord grants me, I pray I will be faithful to honor Him and be a good example to my kids. There are so many wonderful stories. I've been reading from my favorite Psalms. Psalm 145 to 150 are my favorite section of Psalms. There are others that I think are good, but these are the best. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And what does He end it with? Praise the Lord. The Lord is certainly to be praised. The worship team is going to come up and just allow us to worship God, to respond to the Lord for the great things that He has done. But following this song, we are going to have the opportunity to participate in communion. And so I want you to take this time right now to begin to prepare your hearts, to come to the Lord in great thankfulness and to remember what God has given to us in Jesus Christ, the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made on our behalf, and really the ultimate reason that we thank God, because He sent His one and only unique Son to die in our place so that we might have life with God eternally, permanently, and intimately. We get to remember the life of Jesus Christ in communion. So as you are thanking Him for the great things He has done, especially thank Him for the empty cross of Jesus Christ. Especially thank Him for the life that was given on your behalf. Especially thank Him for who Jesus Christ is, our Lord, our Savior, our God in our lives. Let's stand and worship Him and respond to Him together.